This is Kevin Conroy,
the voice of Batman.
And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get charged up for action that'll shock your system.
Tell me that's not cool.
An unstoppable superhero and his crew embark on impossible missions and will bring mutated villains to justice.
When static's in the house, bad guys better step off.
Pull the plug on crime with the adventures of Static Shock. Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to episode 238 of the DCAU Review, and I am one of your hosts, Cal, and with me, my good friend, good brother, the man that runs our Twitter account. That's right, it's Liam. And Liam, I think we've unofficially started a December tradition here, because I looked a year ago, and we had also come out of an awesome Black Friday bonus episode, a pretty memorable review, and then found ourselves in the sunny skies of Dakota a year ago this week. So we are once again reviewing Static Shock, as we mentioned last week. If you did not tune in to our DCAU character spotlight episode on Metallo, definitely check that one out. That was certainly a fun trip down memory lane, talking about all Talo's various appearances. But Liam, we are this week, for at least for the next 2 weeks, going to be covering Static Shock once again, and this week we have a pretty interesting season 2 episode.
That's right, Cal. Trivia note for the listeners: this might be like the second or third episode of this show we ever watched. I think not too long after the first Batman crossover episode had aired at the start of the season, we saw this one, I believe, on a Saturday morning as well. But yes, it is the episode Brother Sister Act, which has a kind of a dual meaning, as we'll get to in our plot synopsis here.
Yeah, I for having seen it, I didn't remember much about it, so certainly was interested, and there were a couple maybe small things about the plot that I recalled as we were going through, but I was pleasantly surprised this one, so I'm excited to break this one down this week with you. But Liam, before we get to this week's episode, we are of course going to get to the official IMDb synopsis brought to you by The Pod Tower. Head over to youtube.com/ThePodTower, and you can certainly check out our entire library of episodes, including past Static episodes and our entire catalog. Also available right now, our Black Friday special episode. Go back and check that. We talked about some of the most insane Batman the Animated Series figures in from Kenner in a great fun hour long bonus pod. So check all that out, youtube.com/ThePodTower, and subscribe today and get content from us and some of our friends that also cover DCAU stuff. Liam, let's get that official IMDb synopsis.
That's right. So this is for the episode Brother Sister Act, which was written by Len Yulee, directed by Joe Sikta, with music by Derek Thornton and animation by Coco. And that synopsis reads as such.
Bang baby siblings Boom and Mirage are terrorizing Dakota for enough money to buy their grandmother a better house. Meanwhile, Virgil has sibling problems of his own as his sister catches on to his alter ego.
Sibling problems.
Virgil has sibling problems is really tripped me up there. But clunky sentence structure and choice of words notwithstanding. That's a decent enough synopsis for what we have here. Although one could argue, as we'll get to, whether or not Boom's true motives for this rampage that he and his sister go on are truly just to get their grandmother a house.
Yeah, that's I think that's more than a fair assumption there, that her motives are could be questioned based on what they have there. But yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I guess that'll take us into our plot section here, where we'll recap the plot and then give our thoughts and scores. So we open the episode with Sharon and Virgil at home. Their dad is out of town and she's trying to make him dinner, trying to do her part to be the homemaker. While Virgil's gone, he's pretty unappreciative of it, and ultimately he manages to make the food, or at least heat up the food, using his powers when Sharon's not looking, which would seemingly be nothing particularly suspicious about that. However, he leaves his plate sitting on the table, and when Sharon goes to grab it, sure enough, it's still quite hot, and she drops it, which kind of makes her a bit confused. Mm-hmm. And
now, Virgil, time to eat.
And this is
dinner.
Could you be more specific?
It's meatloaf. Enjoy.
Kind of on the pink side, huh?
Look, while Dad's away at that counselor's conference, I'm in charge. That means you're gonna eat what I cook. Clear?
All right, chill. Could I at least have some ketchup? Since you're already up.
I don't need this excuse. I'm carrying 16 units at school. I volunteer at the hospital. You don't like my cooking? Well, then you can just starve.
Well, gotta go. Thanks for dinner.
Slow down. Where you going? Some video arcade?
No, I'm gonna meet Richie to do a little homework. Excuse me, did you just say video arcade? That is so Y2K.
It's what?
Y2K. Last year. Out of date history. Everybody's saying it.
They are not. That's just some stupid thing you made up. Ow! Wow. Hot.
And at that point, he claims he's going off to study with Richie, and he heads off into the sky. And then meanwhile, we cut to the opening of a new nightclub, where it's got the long line. And for some reason, the bouncer is like a sultan.
He's Sinbad, right? Sinbad the sailor or something.
I guess so. Yeah. So for some reason, it's great. Like, it's a very funny bit. We'll talk about it more in visuals, perhaps, but. But yes, Boom and Mirage, this brother and sister act. It's clear that the things are they're not getting along super well, with Boom sort of dragging Mirage along to this this club opening and telling her to go along with it to help their grandmother, who is in dire need, as we find out a little bit later. And so Boom runs afoul of the Sultan bouncer. and we get a first look at his powers, which is that he literally has like a subwoofer in his chest,
mm-hmm.
Which fires off these giant sonic blasts and knocks the Sultan down. And then he and Mirage make their way into the club, where they sort of wreak havoc. And Boom is able to take everyone's money, everybody's wallets, and. We see that at the same time Static arrives on the scene kind of too late to stop everything, and he's sort of discussing things with his with the chief of police as well as with the press. And wouldn't you know it, at that point we see Sharon and some of her friends in a diner watching the news, and Static happens to use a turn of phrase which Virgil had used just minutes earlier in our episode, that that Sharon pointed out was not a real phrase and was instead Virgil trying to make something up. So we're starting to see a little too many coincidences pile up for Sharon to ignore them.
I tell you, he is working my last nerve. Every dinner I make, he gives me grief about it. It's not like my cooking's that bad. Of course not. No, it's fine. Hey, it's Static. Oh, wait, talk about electric.
Who do you think did this, Static? Slipstream? Replay?
No, these are new bang babies. Besides, we got those other guys chilling in jail. They are totally Y2K.
Y2K? Like, what's that mean? He's saying their history. It's an expression. Virgil uses it all... Huh? Sharon? You all right? Yeah. Fine.
Catch you later, guys.
No way.
Yeah, that's so Y2K of Wow. If that doesn't date this episode and make it seem like a figment of decades gone by, I don't know what else will. If videotapes and technology and cellular phones that are the size of people's heads that flip open aren't signs that this is a somewhat dated. Whew, man, the term Y2K will certainly take you back. So yes, he uses this turn of phrase in the club. By the way, we also got the reveal of Mirage's powers, as well as she seems to make some tigers appear out of nowhere and sort of, you know, as they're robbing these patrons of this nightclub, is able to intimidate them. So we get that the police got the description of what was going on, but we don't truly know. They're not quite sure what exactly is the level of threat that's happening to them. So we get a cut back to Boom in the apartment, sitting there with Mirage, and Mirage is sort of reminiscing and talking about. We kind of get their backstory at this point, as we learn that they used to live in the suburbs, and apparently something has happened to both of their parents and they've been forced to now go live with their grandmother. And Boom says his motivation is for robbing all of these people and trying to steal the money is truly a Robin Hood type thing, where they're going to buy their grandmother a better house to live in. And Mirage sort of commiserates with him and lets him know that she also hates the fact that they're living in the situation. But you can tell that her conscience is starting to get the best of her, and she's starting to have second thoughts about whether or not it's justifiable to rob all of these people in order to provide their grandmother with a different living space. So the next morning, Sharon is up early and has made Virgil breakfast and is being extra sort of weird with him, and is trying to get some information about just where he was the night prior, see if he'll cough up any information. And Virgil actually slips up the goof, even though having this conversation with Richie the day before about kind of like what was going on. What their cover story, I guess, was going to be. We see that Richie sort of trips over it and says that they went to a movie. Meanwhile, I think Richie had mentioned that they were going to do their homework or something like that. So Sharon catches them in this lie and tries to make Virgil sweat it out. And he kind of begins to cover things up and trip over his words just enough to sort of escape, to leave Sharon sort of stroking her chin and even more suspect based on that. And
breakfast, Virgil?
Sure.
Here's syrup, blueberry jam. I can make bacon if you want.
This is good, thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, do those need a little warm-up?
No, they're perfect, really.
So, how was your evening? Do anything interesting?
What do you mean?
You know, when you went out to... Where'd you go again?
Movie.
Ah, was that after you and Richie did your homework?
Homework? No, see, after that, we went and saw... You feel all right?
Me? Oh, sure. And you?
Fine. Well, I'm gonna go now.
Oh, off on an important errand, are you?
No, I'm just going up to my room, okay?
Okay, little brother. Bye.
No mental problems there.
As he goes to his room, he turns on the radio and listens to the local DJ who is just about to give away $100,000 cash. And as Virgil wonders aloud, just who would fall for such a ridiculous idea? He gets a phone call from Richie on the what's the name of the static box? It's not the static box.
The shock box.
Shock box. That's right. The shock box from Richie, who is explaining to Virgil that he's about to call in and win this $100,000. And wouldn't you know it, a loud boom happens in the middle of it. You begin to hear Boom introduce himself as he's threatening the radio station into giving him the $100,000 giveaway. So at this, Static rushes to leave his house, and Sharon is quickly on his tail there and attempts to catch Virgil as he leaves, and is certainly even more suspicious as she opens the door and Virgil is nowhere to be found.
That's right. And if that wasn't suspicious enough, she also happens to hear on that shock box, which Static had left behind, a certain voice, Richie's voice, calling out for Static, which makes her even even more. She's basically made up her mind at this point that Virgil is Static. And Richie did not exactly do his part by just shouting Static over and over again. But here we move on to the next scene, where we have the police have kind of cornered Boom in the studio, and Mirage is kind of hiding off to the side. And as the cops, we get, I think this is maybe the second appearance of one of our favorite DCAU tropes, which is the inept SWAT team. we've talked about that quite a few times in Batman the Animated Series. We've talked about it in Superman, and I believe this SWAT team might have made its first appearance by like shooting missiles at the Bang Baby Gas in the series debut. But they're back here,
And just as inept as ever.
Yep, pretty just woefully unprepared to deal with any of these Bang Babies, and they're quickly overmatched. Between first Mirage is sort of creating these illusions. She creates a stampede of elephants heading after them, which they're running away from. Static kind of makes his way in and tries to stop them before realizing, of course, that they are in fact, as the name would suggest, they are mirages. They are holograms, so they're not real. At which point Mirage sort of dissipates the illusion, and Boom decides he's gonna take matters into his own hand and unleash not only on the cops but Static. And things are looking pretty dire. Boom is able to get away, but only after sort of setting off a pretty big explosion with his powers and sending some debris heading straight for his sister, in fact. But Static is able to save her at the last minute and take her to a hospital, and it's clear there that she isn't quite really it's clear Static tries to reason with her, tries to understand why she'd be helping him, and she says that she's frightened and she doesn't feel like she can leave her brother, and Static is kind of put there in between a rock and a hard place, as she is technically aiding a criminal, but he knows that at her heart, she's just kind of a scared kid that's going along with something that she doesn't really believe in. And as we go, we cut then to Sharon and Virgil again. And as Virgil is kind of just sitting around, Sharon decides that they need to spend more time together as brother and sister, and invites her invites Virgil to a basketball game.
Not just any basketball game, Liam. It's the Dakota Destroyers.
That's good. I'm trying to remember how many. I know in like the comics and stuff, we get like Gotham. The Gothams are like the Knights or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many other like fictional DCAU cities get team names name checked. So always a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's that it was a I was glad that they went that far. Unfortunately, the only appearance according to the DCAU wiki of the Dakota Destroyers in this week's episode, but so revel in it while you can. But yeah, she takes him to the local arena where the Destroyers game is about to tip off, and we get the reveal that Sharon's ready to break the news to Virgil that she knows that he's static, and she's determined to get him to basically admit it. He does not admit it and excuses himself away. Before this, by the way, there was a brief interaction that we got between Boom and Mirage where Mirage sort of continued to share her concern for who Boom is becoming, and even shared a little bit about what Static had shared with her about Bang Babies sort of having their minds affected by the Big Bang, and how a lot of them unfortunately have been negatively affected, and that it really wasn't his fault, that he just needed to get help, and he clearly wasn't having any of that. So after Sharon has taken Virgil to the game and confesses that she knows that he's static, and she puts the pieces together, including him flying in and around their neighborhood, the discovery of the shock box, Virgil attempts to explain those away very poorly, and then as if to make it even more suspicious, realizes that he has to go to the bathroom. Of course, you gotta escape to the restroom there. You know, Sharon can't follow you there. So he and Richie sort of come up with a plan while they're in the men's room to set off the sprinklers.
Hey, V, I didn't know you were going to be here. What you doing? Going to the bathroom. And so are you.
Virgil.
Men only. Bye. I just saw Boom and Mirage in the crowd.
Oh, no.
And Sharon has figured out that I'm static.
I might be partially responsible for that.
You think?
What do we do, bro? There's gotta be some way to cool her down.
The sprinklers.
Yeah, give it enough juice to set off the whole section.
Just what I was thinking.
Huh? Hey!
Oh, my clothes!
Bet those pants are dry clean, too.
Uh-oh. Sounds like Mirage and her bro are making their move.
What about Sharon?
She's gonna have to wait until I can pull the plug on Mr. Boombox.
They set off the sprinklers, which begins to ruin Sharon's clothes. Easy for me to say. And she makes an escape. And just as this happens, Boom and Mirage also show up to the game, and where they've also seen him. So they head to the management room, or like an office room in the arena. Boom is there collecting what he's attempting to rob from the arena. And Mirage again continues to sort of, you know, share her feelings of dissatisfaction with the way that Boom continues to act, and is upset that he's continuing to allow people to get hurt. And he yells at her to pipe down. He blasts Static into the arena, and Static and him sort of have this one final showdown in the middle of the arena, which is, as we'll talk about in visuals, is a fun setting. But mm-hmm. He and Static go at it pretty heavily. There's a lot of different items in the arena that are being used, from different seats and parts of the basketball court and glass, and all of this happens. And at the last second, when it looks like Static appears that he may be overmatched, Mirage actually turns on Boom and begins creating these giant pillars of light around him that sort of blind him, and that gives Static the time to grab these giant glass panes and make this sort of spherical shape and surround him with it, with the sort of metal cage on the outside of it. So he's encaged in this giant, what looks like a basketball, essentially. and as Boom attempts to use his sonic powers to break out, it sort of just ricochets off of the glass, knocking him down and out. So at this point, Boom and Mirage are going to be hauled off to jail. And there's just one last thing that has to be wrapped up, of course, and that is that Sharon even more so now is convinced that that Virgil is Static, as he's the last one to walk out of the arena and does no favors to himself by still being quite cagey about where he was during this whole process and making terrible excuses.
That's right. And that's where we kind of get our finale of the episode, is as, you know, Sharon continues to lecture him and tell him that, come on, this is clear that you're Static. And if you won't admit it, she pulls the ultimate, sister card, right? It's, I'm going to go tell Dad. Mm-hmm. So Virgil, looking like Sharon has him dead to rights. But then wouldn't you know it, as we see the police cars going by, escorting Boom and Mirage away, we seemingly see Static following along, flying above the cars. And as Sharon sort of has to eat crow and is so embarrassed and kind of walks away, Richie inquires as to how, and Static just, or Virgil just mentions that he asked for a favor from his new friend Mirage. And the final shot there is of Mirage sort of creating this image of Static floating over the thing. So all's well that ends well, secret identity saved, and justice has been served. So a nice little bow put on things here to wrap up our episode.
Yeah, I guess we can get into talking about our scores and how much we did or did not enjoy this week's episode. I will say, Liam, I was pleasantly surprised. I had a lot of fun with this episode. I thought it was written really well, paced really well. I thought that the whole idea of Sharon finding out that Virgil is indeed Static is, of course, a very famous superhero trope, right? You know, you have mm-hmm. Someone in your family or your significant other, or somebody is convinced that they have discovered your secret. And the whole tension built around the episode as well. How in the world is he going to explain this away? And it's, you know, it's, I think it's amplified even more so by the fact that Virgil is so bad at trying to explain these things away. And almost like he almost gives it up like several different times there, with having such poor excuses for it, and sort of only through happenstance is able to explain it away with Mirage helping him out. I was actually pleasantly surprised, because I thought that they were going to give Static some weird power where he was able to create an electrical version, like an electric version of himself, and that would fool her, and we would get like, oh yeah, I had my hand behind my back and was creating this, you know, this electric Static version of Static that Sharon believed. So the fact that he was able to convince Mirage to help him out, and it showed, you know, her willingness to sort of, you know, she was a victim very much in this whole episode. She was looking up to her older brother to help her out, was kind of going along with it, and mm-hmm. was in this vulnerable place because of what had happened to her parents. And you know, Boom was really her main family outside of the grandmother, who we never really see in the episode. But I like that he was able to convince, and it shows how she was actually, you know, good at heart. And you know, hopefully after her appearance, you know, realized her ways of assisting in crime was not a way to have a good life. So I thought that was really fun. I think the tension of finding out Static's secret identity, mixed with this whole back and forth with the two villains, mm-hmm. you know, and their tension between them, I thought that was great. I really enjoyed the episode. I went with a pretty solid 8 out of 10 for plot. What about you?
Nice. Yeah, I just went 1 point lower at 7 out of 10. But I think this was fun. I think the interplay, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in voice acting, between Boom and Mirage is really interesting in this episode, because they sort of, it's not, they don't spend a lot of time with them. It is like the B story of the episode, but you know, she makes it clear that they had a pretty, you know, they were pretty well adjusted. Boom sort of has this sort of, you know, he's trying kind of a fake it till you make it type of a bad guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like he's trying to act hard, as the phrase might be. And she's like, we grew up in the suburbs. What are you doing? Like,
right.
Precisely. She has like there's like the yeah the way that that's that B plot and her sort of slowly realizing that no, we aren't just doing this because we're trying to help our grandmother. We're not just doing this for, you know, for good reasons. We're doing this because he likes the power and the, you know, supposed respect maybe that he would get by terrorizing people and taking this money and everything. So I think the way that story lays out, and then yeah, it's a pretty light comical sub or, you know, other plot with Virgil and Sharon. And it is kind of humorous in that last scene, because she's just like, before you know the mirage, if you will, solves this problem, she's just like yelling Virgil's name at the top of her lungs in this arena full of people while he's while he's flying around at static. And it's like, yeah, okay, it turns out that they have a, you know, an alibi for Sharon, but like for the rest of the world, that could have been or the rest of the people there, that could have been dangerous as far as Virgil's secret identity and him trying to kind of get them out of there. And even like Richie trying to run interference and being terrible at it is pretty funny, I think. So yeah, I think there's a good balance here of like some interesting kind of character beats with our villains, and then kind of some more lighthearted fun, you know, again, like you said, it's a pretty classic superhero hijink to get into, of the trying to trick someone who knows your secret into thinking they're wrong. So yeah, I think this all comes together pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a fun one. I think sometimes I think we grade on a curve when it comes to static, because we've talked about countless times, you know, it's a different audience that this was written for, different animation style, wasn't originally meant to be in the DCAU. All of that stuff sort of works against it, and sometimes can make it feel sort of you know, alien when you put it up against some of the other series that we review. But when you have a really good, well-written plot like this, and some interesting things that call back to sort of your classic superhero tropes, it's nice, and I think it's worth talking about when it ends up being something sort of surprising. Like, yeah, it's a good episode. It's just good. I don't know how else to say it. All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be visuals and animation. So what stood out for you? This is certainly a very interesting visual episode based on our villain's powers, at least. But there are a couple of things that we don't normally see as far as these early episodes of Static that I also pointed out. But I'll let you go first. What stood out for you?
Yeah, I think there's some fun settings, like the opening bit, even though it's not an action heavy scene where Boom and Mirage are attacking the nightclub and Static's kind of out on patrol. It's sort of set at night and it's rainy. So that's like I think a pretty unique location. Static has like his hood up and his goggles on.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I saw. I was like, you don't usually see hood up on Static, but it was, you know, that you would see it more often with the comic book version. The original Milestone version of Static tended to have the hood up more often. So I thought that was a pretty neat, intentional or not, homage to the origins of that character.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's kind of a neat opening sequence there and establishing the villain. I'm always kind of fascinated by how hard it must be to visualize sound. Like in almost every show we covered, there's like a sonic weapon or somebody with sonic powers that you have to figure out a way to visualize that. And I like the way that that Boom's powers are, you know, for his design, like, you know, he's just kind of this big fridge of a man. and he has, like we said, he has the literal like speaker in his chest that fires it out, and you kind of get these big circular waves, and they kind of do some cool tricks, kind of shaking the camera to add a little bit more sound. Yeah, the way sound is visualized in this episode, I think, is pretty fun. And then you have Mirage, who, again, even kind of the effects that go around it almost feels more mystical with her. Like it's kind of like a lot of like pinks and oranges that come out before the whatever it is she's making sort of shows up, and then there's like a lot of like sparkles and everything around here. So I think the way that our villain's powers were visualized, I think, kind of stood out to me as pretty cool and pretty unique.
Yeah, I agree. That was the kind of the first thing that I saw, especially again, grading on a curve with this with how the animation was earlier in this, in these earlier seasons, the way that the boom, the first kind of reveal that we get where he rips open his shirt and you see the subwoofer and he's sort of just launching these sonic booms around this nightclub, and you get the different multicolors that are happening at the same time in that nightclub with the DJ and the multicolored lights and the various things happening. I thought that little bit there of him ripping the shirt open and then the visualization of those powers, I thought were great. Same thing when once Mirage sort of makes the tigers begin to appear, they sort of just they start off with almost like pods on the ground, and then they sort of manifest and grow out of the ground. I thought that was an interesting look. Mm-hmm. I think the fight scenes are done pretty well. I think it's very fun. We get the sort of mid maybe second act fight scene between Static out and Boom outside the radio station. There's falling pieces of the building and Static mm-hmm. sort of flying in and out and attempting to avoid Boom. And then of course the culmination, the end fight. I love the idea of a fight occurring inside of a sports arena. Like, I think that's an awesome yes. venue, you know, for a venue, for a fight scene. We saw it in I think most recently in The Batman. There's a pretty mm-hmm. memorable scene that occurs inside of a sports arena. And, you know, we've seen it. I'm sure there are other times that we could think of, none that come to mind, but it's just fun. There's lots of stuff that you can use and add in there, and the fact that Static again visually wraps him up in this basketball shape at the end, I thought that was pretty neat. You know, I obviously with this occurring at the Dakota basketball game there. Mm-hmm. So I think all in all there's some pretty good sequences here. The visualization, again, I think the fun had with the villains was great. And even some of the things, the scene where Sharon is, her car's not starting and Static sort of flies by and drops the static electricity onto the car, which by yes. the way, was that on purpose, do you think, or was it just a happy accident? Cause they didn't make it clear.
Just constantly raining lightning down on right. the people of Dakota.
Right, causing power surges in areas where or just starting up random cars.
Hard to say, blowing transformers all over the place right. every time he crosses over a power line.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I thought that was pretty neat too. You see the visualization of those sparks falling off of him and then landing on the car. And I will say that Sharon visually doesn't appear to be a good cook, because if that first thing that Virgil was eating was meatloaf, it was more like just a pile of raw ground beef. But you know, who am I to judge? I'm not a cook either, or a chef either. So overall, I think there's some lots of fun things. Again, probably grading a little bit on a curve here, but I ended up giving visuals and animation a 7 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I actually went 1 point higher. I went 8 out of 10. I think that that sequence in kind of the middle of the episode where he's at the radio station, I think is that sequence is animated so fluidly. Mm. Just everything from, you know, from Mirage making the elephants at first and then Static flying down. And then we get this kind of really cool 360 shot where we're kind of looking up at Boom and then the camera sort of sweeps around him. And then you see him looking down before he kind of unleashes his sonic power, and then it cuts back to a shot as he's sort of raining the sonic power down on him, and you get the shot of Virgil holding his ears and kind of sweeping through the air, and then, you know, Mirage makes her big bright light to try to distract everyone, and we see, you know, this police helicopter come flying in, and it immediately kind of starts swinging out of control, and it's just how fluid the animation in that sequence, especially, and again, I think in that final act in the arena as well, as, you know, Virgil's pulling out like arena chairs to throw at him and things like that, and kind of the different ways you destroy a building like that once you create it, I think is fun. So, but yeah, I think the Coco on animation for this one, and I just thought the fluidity of everything, and with the helicopter, with the way everything was moving in the air and everything, was just really, really top notch. Especially even grading on this static curve, if you look at it the other way, I think this was a cut above these early static episodes for sure.
There you go. All right, William, move on to our next category, which I will spoiler alert, easy for me to say, will not be grading on a curve for this one, and that is our music for this week. So longtime listeners will know, when it comes to the way that they decided to do music for Static, I'm not a fan. Any of the times the songs have lyrics to them, I find it extremely distracting, and I find it difficult to enjoy or appreciate the actual music. Not every song for this week's episode has lyrics, but the majority do. I watched this on the wonderful HBO Max app, mm-hmm. and I felt like at least for the first act or so, there was some real bad mixing going on. The music was really loud and the dialogue was really quiet. And I don't know if that is an HBO Max thing. I don't know if that is how this episode was originally mixed. I don't know. I really don't know, but that it certainly did not help my enjoyment of the music or lack thereof, because the music was so loud and the dialogue was just nearly drowned out by it in those first couple scenes. And it didn't seem like, I know the second scene takes place at the nightclub. It didn't seem like they were trying to make it seem like it was loud because it was in a nightclub. It sounded like a bad mix. I don't know if you caught that or if it was just my version or HBO Max acting up, but it led to me not really caring much for it. Again, not surprising. I'm not usually a fan of the soundtrack for the show. I ended up with a 4 out of 10 for music because of the bad mix. So what about you?
Fair enough. I didn't notice that as much. I don't, we've talked about this a lot. I don't have as much of a problem with the lyrics in the music, but there are, yeah, I mean, in this case, I didn't have a lot of notes other than, you know, the Static theme coming in the final couple minutes of that last action sequence. I did notice that any kind of time Mirage was using her powers, you have a lot of the Static action sequences just have like kind of a drum machine, kind of really simple soundtrack to them. They don't have a lot of music, but every time she would use her powers, there would be just kind of almost like a single note played on what sounded like a keyboard or synthesizer that would just sort of it's almost, you're almost using music as the sound effect for her powers, which mm-hmm. I thought was kind of a neat touch there. And so I didn't have a lot for music there. I ended up settling on a 5 out of 10, but yeah, I think, like I said, it wasn't anything to write home about, even for me, who does kind of like the lyrical music on Static. So, yeah, I'm even I don't have a lot of positive things to say, but yeah, I think maybe the highlight for me was the way they kind of used they made a musical sound effect for Mirage's powers.
There you go. All right, Liam, let's bring things home this week with a discussion of our voice acting from this week. We don't have a huge cast, but we do have a lot of our returning favorite. Let's talk about this week's voice acting.
Well, that's right. So as mentioned, we do have Dennis Haysbert returning as Chief Barnsdale, who's has quite a few sort of minor roles across the DCAU, probably most famously as Kilowog in Justice League, but does a few other minor roles in Superman, as well as of course playing the Chief here on Static. But yeah, he's fun. He's one of those characters that I feel like exists more in these early seasons of Static, where you're like, yeah, it kind of would have been fun if they did more with this guy, just because he had such a good actor. Yeah, he's like a great old police chief voice. Like he's got that stern but fair quality to his voice, but it's always fun to hear him.
Agreed. Yeah, it's nice to hear Mr. Haysbert, and it just makes you feel warm and calm and like I am in good hands. So
yeah. we're not gonna name that company because we're not getting paid to. But
right, absolutely.
But I would agree. But yeah, it's funny, we have Kevin Michael Richardson, who usually plays Virgil's dad. But he doesn't play Virgil's dad in here. He just plays the salt. He just plays Sinbad the bouncer in this episode for some reason. I don't know if he was in recording for another episode and they just they were like, hey, can you play a bouncer for us real quick for this one? But kind of funny to see him. And speaking of other minor roles from names we know, we have Maria Canales Barrera playing the reporter, Shelley Sandoval, and I believe one of Sharon's friends in the diner as well. So always fun to hear her. And then we have our two villains of the piece. It's interesting. So we have Ricky Deshaun Collins, who actually did quite a few different voices across different Static episodes, and as well as playing the little kid in Blackest Night, the Justice League episode. But probably most famously, if you're a kid of a certain age or now adult of a certain age, like I am, you might remember him as Tucker on Danny Phantom.
Okay.
Playing Danny's best friend on that show. Done some other voice acting as well, but it's funny because he as Boom, I don't think, you know, on other shows where I've heard him voice act, like he's very over the top and cartoony. Mm-hmm. And that's not an insult. And here he's kind of playing, you know, this mean mugging dude mm-hmm. for the whole episode. But I almost think it kind of works because it is kind of, at first I was kind of listening to it and going, this is a little flat, this is a little like uninspired. But I feel like when it clicked for me was when he and Gavin Turek, who played Mirage, are talking, and she starts explaining that he's not like, you know, he's not a gangbanger, he's not like a thug, mm-hmm. he's a suburban kid who, you know, just has fallen on some hard times, and he's trying to act this way. I was like, I think it actually works, but like by the end of the episode, I'm like, no, I actually really like him, especially playing off of his sister Mirage in the episode. Like I think it kind of works as like, once you find out that he's this like kind of, you know, middle class that's cosplaying as a as a tough guy, I feel like it kind of works for me a little bit better.
Yeah, that's right. Next I see Static, I'm gonna give him a world to hurt.
Listen to you. You're not some gangster from the hood. We're from Southfield. Byron, I know it's not your fault. It's that Bang Baby thing. It made you sick. You need help.
Okay, baby sister. This next thing is the last one. In and out. Then we'll be done.
You promise? No trouble?
It'll be no trouble at all.
Yeah, I think it's a solid performance. I think that their dialogue back and forth, again, I concur with you. I think the best acting happens between the two of them, and that's where you kind of get to see that that sort of that dynamic between the two of them. And I think it's a solid performance from both of those actors, or the actor and the actress. And I think they turned in a performance that added to the dynamic of what you're looking there, the tension between, you know, a brother and a sister, and the sister who's just really not on board with what's going on, and the brother that's sort of manipulating her and using this pulling at her heartstrings a little bit. And, you know, we got to take care of grandma, but really it's about trying to establish himself as like a mean streets kid when he's really, really not. Yes. Being a poser. mm-hmm. So yeah, that's certainly an interesting dynamic to it, and ends up being a certainly an interesting part of makes their characters more interesting. So I think both of them put in great performances and end up giving a solid supporting part of the cast there.
Yeah, and I will just mention Miss Turek, who's playing Mirage, not really an actor. I mean, she has a few acting credits to her name, but she was primarily a singer. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing because I think she is very, very good in this episode, especially as we said when she's interacting with Mr. Collins as Boom. But for a very inexperienced voice actor at this point in her career, that was a pretty impressive job by her. And then moving on to our main cast, we do, as briefly mentioned, have Jason Marsden as Richie, who again is just doing the worst job imaginable of running interference and for Virgil in this episode. And you get mostly what his role is in this pre-Gear Richie era is just to kind of be a goofball and add some comedy. And he does a good job with that, I think, especially in his interactions with Sharon in this episode, especially. Michelle Morgan, this is definitely the most Sharon we've gotten in an episode to this point, I think, at least the one that we've covered.
I agree. Yeah. And usually it's interesting because she's usually relegated to quipping or just bickering mm-hmm. with Virgil. And we don't really get a lot, or I haven't at least gotten a sense of her range, or, you know, what her actual acting chops are, other than maybe the episode with Rubber Band Man, where he was dating her. We got a little bit from that, and I think that was a decent performance from my recollection. But this one's fun because there's a lot of her chiding Virgil and her sort of almost got him type of attitude that she's got with him. I've caught him, I figured it out, we've got it, you know. And then to see her kind of have egg on her face at the end and sort of stumbling for words to figure out just how Static and Virgil could be in the same place at the same time in our final scene there is very interesting. So it's not quite the reveal of Hugo Strange finding out that Bruce Wayne and Batman are in the same spot. It's a similar sort of bewilderment. So yeah, I think it's a solid performance from her as well.
Absolutely. And of course we have the legend Phil Lamar coming in as Static and Virgil,
and as well as radio DJ, right?
I was gonna say, as well as Dr. Mac, the radio DJ. Yeah, but sadly Dr. Mac's only appearance as well in DCAU.
Bummer.
But like to think that, you know, that he's still out there somewhere. I think that's, again, we talked about it, that the heavier side, or the maybe the more interesting like character stuff, comes from our villains. But so the A plot, if you will, with Virgil and Sharon and Richie, you know, arguing over whether or not Virgil is Static or not, it is very light and silly and funny. And, you know, unsurprisingly, Phil Lamar, a lot of range for this type of character. And it, like I said, I think the fun, as you said, when we were talking about Miss Morgan as Sharon, is just seeing those characters interact beyond just like calling each other stinky or ugly, which right. is most of their interactions across the episodes we've reviewed, at least to this point. So seeing them get to interact a little bit more, and again, him interacting with Jason Marsden as Richie, and, you know, Richie being like, oh yeah, I don't think I helped too much with this whole situation, and Virgil kind of letting him have it, and then Virgil trying to make things make sense from what she knows. I think that's fun. Like, it's like I said, it's very light and comedic, but I think all three of our leads here do a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, I agree. It's a solid performance from everybody across the board, and that's why I ended up giving voice acting a pretty strong 7 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I went with the exact same score of 7 out of 10. So, yeah, I think everybody's pretty solid, and some impressive work from our guest stars and our villains this week.
There you go. All right, Liam, well, that will bring us to our final scores for this week. And totaling everything up, I end up with a 26 out of 40. What about you?
And I am just 1 point higher at 27 out of 40.
There we go. So interesting discussion here as far as rewatchability. It's a fun episode. Mm-hmm. Certainly memorable in that we get this plot about Sharon finding out or trying to discover who Static is. But there's not a lot. I think Boom does show up. I think I saw in the series finale. So we do get him returning at least, but Mirage, I believe, does not return, and we don't really get any follow up from this episode. Otherwise, I don't think we really get more of like Sharon continuing to suspect that Static is Virgil. So if that plot point doesn't really get played on later on, then doesn't really feel like it's a mandatory watch, but it's fun. So maybe this gets the one thumb up, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a fun episode, and like we said, it's focuses on some characters and Sharon that don't get focused on a lot. So there's definitely some fun to be had there. But hard to feel like it's a must watch as far as big moments for the series or for the DCAU as a whole.
There you go. All right, Liam. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in for this week. We appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can support the podcast a myriad of ways just by listening to the podcast. We thank you. That's a that's a way to support the podcast. If you want to support us a couple of other ways, you can always subscribe to us, of course, on your favorite podcast app. Spotify is our hosting site, so we thank them. Anchor by way of Spotify. So you can check that out. Subscribe to us on there. Speaking of Anchor, there's actually a link directly on our Anchor page. You can head over to anchor.fm/DCAU review. There's a link there if you want to donate to the podcast directly. You can also, if you want to, support us by leaving us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps us out a lot. A five-star review gets us in that algorithm and helps us out a lot. So we appreciate that. Some free ways, more free ways to support the podcast. Like us on social media at DCAU Review on Twitter and Instagram. We also recently followed the leader and we joined Hive, I believe. We're not really active on there yet. So we're kind of feeling things out and seeing where things go, but hey, we grabbed the handle. So follow us at DCAU Review if you're there. And then of course you can head over to youtube.com/thepodtowers. We mentioned earlier in the episode and subscribe to us, like the videos that we post there for the episodes. That helps us out a lot as well. We mentioned at the top of the show, we dropped our Black Friday episode. That bonus episode is so fun. Had such a blast talking nostalgic old Batman, the animated series figures. So we'd love for you to check that out if you have not. Liam, we are continuing again next week, as we said, here with another Static episode, and we are staying in season two.
That's right. And this is going to be a fun one for a myriad of reasons. Not only does it feature the return of Rubber Band Man, kind of one of the best side characters in Static, but it also features the debut of one Coolio, may he rest in peace, voicing the character Replicon in the episode Duped. So looking forward to tracking that down, that episode down. I'm sort of, this is one of those ones I vaguely remember that there's an episode where Coolio is in it, but it's not one that I have watched in a time. So I'm kind of excited to see what exactly, how exactly this one's going to shake out and everything. So looking forward to that. And yeah, just as you said, everybody, speaking of, we're getting towards the end of the year, people are mentioning us or sending us messages about us being in like their Spotify Wrapped most listened to things. Very, very kind and very, very encouraging to us. So appreciate people that pass along messages about that this week and everything. So yeah, we're having a lot of fun. We always appreciate everybody chiming in and sharing their feedback with us.
Absolutely. One final plug. You can head over to DCAUreview.com and click on the store tab for the rest of this week during the original release date, at least. You can pick up 15% off any order on our website. So if you want to support the podcast and get yourself a shirt or a piece of merchandise, a mug or a hat, stickers even, they're all up there. So you can check that out, support the podcast that way. And that we would greatly appreciate that. But thank you to everybody who supports the pod. Excited to check out and honor the late, great Coolio next week on the pod. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we'll talk to you on the next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.